Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Would you lift your voice and lift your hands to the King, eternal, the King immortal, the only wise God? Thank you for the honor of being part of this mighty, glorious army. Doing much for the kingdom, doing much for His Majesty. Someone grateful enough to verbalize your thanks. Thank you, Jesus, for calling me out of every tribe and every tongue and every nation. For access to your word, for access to your spirit, for access to your power. Sabrantasa legebaratu sebrendegebe legeparatu siyata. We are a grateful people. With hands lifted to the heavens, we give you praise. With our voices raised loud and clear, we give you praise. Because of your presence, we honor you. Be glorified in our midst. You have placed your grace, placed your honor upon us as a people. And we are grateful. Let the nations know that we are grateful. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Would you lift your hands and lift your voice and ask the Lord for a visitation tonight? My presence tonight again is proof that I trust you. My presence tonight is proof that I love you. My presence tonight is proof that I understand that there is an ongoing process of transformation, an ongoing process of empowerment. My presence tonight is proof that I understand I am a savior and that you have caused your program to depend on my participation. My presence tonight is proof that I believe in the victory that you have purchased for me in Christ and that I am ready to see it manifest in my life. My presence tonight is proof that I am an intercessor, standing in for those who may not have seen the light like you have shown me. Someone pray. Let this night be my night of encounter. Let it be my night for a mighty visitation. Open my eyes that I may see, my ears that I may hear, my heart that I may perceive and know. Let the entrance of your word give light. Let it give understanding unto my heart. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. The Bible says they go from strength to strength, as many as appear before the Lord in Zion. We thank God for His grace. Every gathering is an opportunity for growth, for transformation. The secret is always the Word of God. Where the Word of God is, and where the Spirit of God is allowed unrestrained access, there's no limit to what such people can become. And we thank God for giving us the honor of being such people. Father, we give you thanks again. You have gathered us tonight as a hen gathers her chick and all the chicks to build us, to make us, to grow us so that we become people of power and stature and wisdom and grace. We submit to you tonight. Help us by your Spirit. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. God bless you. Good evening to everybody. Please turn to your neighbor left and right. And would you give them a big God bless you. Hallelujah. Please be seated. It's good to have everyone in church. The house of God is a place of hope. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the word of God because of what it does to whoever pays attention to it. To listen, it says, my son, pay attention, attend unto my words, incline your ears to my sayings. It says, do not let them depart from your heart, keep them in the midst of your mouth. It says, they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Are you ready for tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. You will never be the same. The word of God will continue to change you in the name of Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to teach on a subject I have been dishing out, the mysteries of the kingdom and the laws of the kingdom. And these are the mysteries by which the saints become confident, become empowered, and make structured progress in life. And in light of the times that we live in, the Lord impressed upon my heart to teach one of the mysteries of the kingdom that will help give stability to your living, stability to your walk with God, and will afford you the courage to press forward in life and to remain hopeful even as the days unfold, especially for those who are still awaiting the promises of God to manifest in their lives at various levels. And so I trust that this message will bless you tonight and open your eyes in Jesus' name. I'm teaching tonight on the covenant of peace. The covenant of peace. I want to show you by the teaching tonight the pathway to rest round about. The covenant of peace. It's one of the mysteries of the kingdom that is desired by many, if not all, and yet seldom understood by believers. They understand instinctively the concept of peace and the advantage of peace, but most people have not been broadened as far as the Bible scope, as far as the definition of peace is concerned. For the average person, peace represents for us maybe restfulness or absence of strife and war, and we just limit it there. But I'm hoping that by this teaching, God will broaden our understanding, but more importantly, equip us with the kingdom keys that will help us to walk in the reality of this covenant. If I just described you, shout amen. Amen. For a text, Isaiah 54, and we'll read verse 10. Isaiah 54 and verse 10. We're looking at the covenant of peace. It says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon you. Hallelujah. We live in a world where there is a very interesting blend between joy and pain, between happiness and sadness. One moment you are celebrating the arrival of a baby. The next moment you are celebrating the departure of someone, whether young, whether old, whether male, whether female, whether rich or otherwise. One moment you are celebrating maybe someone who is receiving an award. The next moment you are saddened by someone who is being sentenced to life imprisonment. Our world is full of this paradox, a blend of good things that happen to people and then it's almost superimposed by bad or sad things that happen to others. It seems as though it's very difficult for believers, and for others it is really far-fetched to have consistent joy without a reason for pain, without a reason for sadness, to a point that when believers have a cause to rejoice, they mise their expressing joy because they seem to anticipate that sooner or later evil will come and overshadow that joy. And so you find people, even when there is a reason to rejoice, they are not open to be lavish and expressive about their joy because they are aware of this mix of sweet and sour, bitter and sweet, you know, and so on and so forth. And it seems like that's the normal course in our lives. While someone rejoices today, they almost will be met by a reason to be sad and to be angry. The question now is that the will of God, and is that the best of God for believers? Almost everyone here has had a reason to rejoice over some achievement for yourself or for someone connected to you, something miraculous, something wonderful, something worthy of celebration may have happened in your life, And for everyone here, we equally have reasons to have cried and maybe are crying. Maybe the loss of a loved one. Maybe you lost money. Maybe you lost an opportunity. You lost a strategic relationship. You are at a point in your life where hell seems to have broken loose. And our world is in desperate need. From a global scale, we see that there is war between nations, unfortunately. This has not been the desire of any well-meaning person, but that's the reality that is in our world today. We have leaders, heads of government, meeting day and night, trying to negotiate deals, all in an attempt to bring peace to our world. There are many global governmental and non-governmental institutions that have been set up, whether sincerely so or selfishly so, as we are told. At least we know that the face of their pursuit is world peace. Every religion, I know that means well. At least the three major religions, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, and then it extends to Hinduism and any other religion, as I've studied, somewhere in their teaching, at least without the extremist views, seem to support the concept of peace. Are we still together? And so it's been a subject that people desperately need. In fact, if you ask the average person, what do you really desire? What we are trying to say is peace, but we'll express it in different ways. Others will say, I need money. What you are saying is, I need the wherewithal to sort my problems and finally have peace. Are we together now? And so the quest for peace is not something that is for a few people. It's not something that you should choose as against or to decide whether you want it or not. It's a necessity. In fact, medical science teach that if you are in an atmosphere that is pungent psychologically, it can cut short your life. There are people today who have all kinds of medical conditions that are traceable to worries, depression, high blood pressure, and all sorts. I'm hoping tonight in the name of Jesus that God will open up our eyes to understand this concept of peace. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, when you travel to Israel, one of the most common way to salute and to greet one another is to use the word peace. It's a Hebrew word, shalom. There are many other expressions, but we'll work with that word, shalom. And to the person who is of a Jewish descent, when you say shalom, he's not just talking about restfulness or quietness or the absence of war. It's a deeper and very pregnant word with so many expressions as we're going to be exploring tonight. But when you tell an Israelite or an Israeli shalom, you have said many things in one word. And if you're not of the Jewish descent and you're not trained, you usually will not understand the weight of that word. So please walk with me as we explore for a start the meaning of the word that is translated in English, peace, is the word shalom. S-H-A-L-O-M. Shalom goes beyond the absence of wars and strife. The more generic meaning is the absence of war, the absence of strife. So when we say an individual is experiencing peace, the more common meaning is that there is no war, an end has come to war, an end has come to turbulence, an end has come to strife. It's a state of quiet and restfulness. But let's look at other meanings. It goes beyond the absence of wars and strife. I wrote here, and you may want to listen and write. It includes wholeness. Please write. It includes harmony. It includes prosperity in all its ramifications. And it includes rest. So the word shalom, that is translated peace, in addition to quiet from war and strife and turbulence, it includes wholeness, completeness. It includes harmony. It includes prosperity in all its ramifications. It includes rest. It also includes permanence or longevity of good things. So the word shalom also extends to mean permanence or longevity. How long good things last in your life. It's not just how good things come, but their longevity in your life. It also refers to the permanence of things in your life. That means when things happen to you, good things for that matter, they should remain, hopefully for your lifetime. Anyone who is experiencing good as defined by scripture, perpetually is in a state of peace, as the Bible calls shalom. Are we still together? Praise the name of the Lord. So it includes wholeness or completeness, harmony, prosperity in all its ramification, rest. It also captures permanence or longevity of good things in one's life. Let me also define shalom as it's captured in Bible language as a state where every aspect of your life is working and it's in harmony with God's divine order. Write that, I'll read it slowly so that you listen and write. Shalom as peace also means a state where every aspect of your life, if you're writing, you want to underline that, every aspect of your life is working and it's in harmony with God's divine order. Any believer who assumes such a state where everything is working in your life and is consistent with God's divine order, we say you are in a state of shalom. You are in a state of peace. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. This is one of the clearest pictures of what we call the covenant of peace. Read with me, please, ladies and gentlemen. Ready? One, two, go. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in how many things? One more time. All things. Another expression of peace. Joshua chapter 21, please. And we'll read verse 44. Joshua chapter 21 and verse 44. I'm showing you the broader picture of the word shalom as it refers to peace. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he swore unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. May that be your testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ. So it is God's desire for all believers to experience peace, to experience wholeness, and to experience rest roundabout. Settle that for a fact. It is God's will, it is God's desire for you and I to experience peace in its entirety as defined by the Bible, to experience wholeness and to experience rest roundabout. You want to note that. It's important for you to settle, no matter what you are going through, settle it for a fact that it is God's desire, and in fact, it is the will of God for me as a believer in Christ to experience peace, to experience wholeness, and to experience rest roundabout. We read Isaiah 54 and verse 10 already. We read Joshua 21, 44 already. Let's read two more verses just to buttress on the fact that it is the will of God for you and I, regardless our current situation, to have peace and to enter that covenant of peace, rest, and of wholeness and of rest round about. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. This talks more of the physical dimension of peace. Jeremiah 33 and verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 6. It says, and I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. God's commitment to you, God's commitment to me, that he will bring health, he will bring cure, and he will reveal unto us throughout the course of our lifetime abundance of peace and truth. Receive it by shouting aloud, amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus himself is speaking, and he gives us a picture of rest round about as an expression of peace. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and all you that are heavy laden. He says, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Say, I receive rest. So according to scripture, we can receive peace
and rest in every area of our lives. Do you believe that? We can receive peace, we can receive rest in every area of our lives. And like I've taught you, let me compartmentalize for you the areas where we are in desperate need for peace. Number one, your spiritual life. You can receive peace with God. First, beginning from your declaring His Lordship. Hallelujah. He's called, according to Isaiah's prophecy, the Prince of Peace. A man can experience peace with God. He can experience the peace of God. Spiritually. You can experience peace mentally, like you are going to be learning. That in nothing that you are you troubled, the Lord puts you in a state of restfulness. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid of? A state where you are free from fear, you are free from worry, you are free from all the thoughts that are engineered within your mind to depress you and to make God look like He's not faithful. A man can experience physical peace in terms of your health, your vitality, your life moving, everything moving as desired. You can experience financial peace. I'm telling you, if I'm to draw a pie chart and allocate our desire for peace, for most people, 80 to 85% will be the quest for financial peace. And the reason is because we live in a world that is economically driven. And most of our worries, directly or indirectly, relate to financial issues. From rent, to children's fees, to bills to pay, you know, and all of that. And for our brothers and sisters in diaspora, it's even worse. Because now you pay rent monthly, there are mortgage issues, you know, pursuing papers and all of that. And if you default, you get into trouble. So most people are in desperate need for financial peace. There are people who are sick today, not because of any germ, not any parasite, not any virus. They are sick because of the mental torture that the absence of abundance has brought to them. And then we have relational peace. This extends to peace in homes, peace, you know, among family members, nuclear and extended peace among people of the same group, and so on and so forth. And Jesus Christ Himself is desirous that all believers find peace in this area. Now please look at me. What gives us the basis to receive this peace? Because the covenant of peace, as much as all Old Testament covenants, the one that concerns us more particularly, it was Abraham, the patriarch, that God came into this covenant with. When you read Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 and 2, He calls this man called Abram from Ur of the Chaldeans, and He tells him to leave his father's house, his kindred, unto a land that will be shown. Now He proposes a blessing. He proposes a kind and a quality of life. He says, if you believe me and if you trust my leadership and walk in keeping with all that I reveal to you, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. Verse 3. It says, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse him that curses you. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So God calls one man and proposes that to him. But then, we are not the natural descendants of Abraham, nor were we there when all these covenants and promises were enacted. What then gives us the basis to lay claim to these things? The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. It says, and if ye be Christ, it says, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Meaning that you were not there, nor were we part of the covenant directly by reason of our not being Jews. But the Bible says in Christ, He has brought that reconciliation through Christ. And in Christ, we can now become partakers of the blessings of Abraham. In fact, the Bible puts it this way. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham, and I've taught you here, Galatians 3:14, the blessing of Abraham is not cast and money. No, the blessing of Abraham is justification by faith. That the justification by faith that was imputed on Abraham through Christ might come upon us, the Gentiles, that we being justified now can receive what the Bible calls the blessing, the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, the blessing of Abraham, justification by faith, grants you access to the blessing. In summary, the Holy Spirit. Now the blessing, the Holy Spirit, working with Him and in partnership with the Word of God, opens you up to what we call blessings. You see how it works? So the journey starts with the blessing of Abraham, justification by faith. Then it grants you access to the blessing, the Holy Spirit, in all of His dimensions. Then it now produces blessings. If you have not received the blessing of Abraham, justification by faith in Christ and through Christ, you cannot receive the blessing. And if you cannot receive the blessing, you may not have blessings God's way. Now, as an unbeliever, you can walk the principles of the kingdom and have similitudes of kingdom blessings, but there will always be a side effect. For instance, the Bible says it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich without the addition of sorrow. Meaning every other way you route to experience blessings outside of the Lord, it will make you rich, but eventually it will come with sorrows. Diligence and productivity can bring you wealth, but diligence does not drive demons. They will visit you and machines don't diagnose them. They will wait at the zenith of your rising. Discipline and diligence does not take away the desire of Satan to destroy everything God in you. Are we together now? So the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and added no sorrow. Are we learning already? So the basis for our desiring to walk in the covenant of peace, shalom as they call it, is the fact that we are in Christ. And now in Christ, we have access to every blessing that was spoken to Abraham and indeed to every patriarch. You believe that? Say amen. There are two dimensions of peace and rest that is translated shalom that is of interest for us tonight. When the Bible talks about shalom as a covenant of peace and rest, there are two dimensions I want us to look at for our discussion tonight. Number one is called rest and peace in the midst of storms. So this one does not necessarily mean the absence of storms. Rest and peace in the midst of storms. The believer can find peace. Ultimately, the goal is to be free from calamity, to be free from storms. But then there is a dimension of this covenant of peace that ministers rest and peace even in the midst of storms. That means you do not have to wait for storms to be over before you experience it. Three scriptures very quickly. Isaiah chapter 43 from verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. See, I reject fear. Shout it like you're a believer. It says, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Verse 2. It says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with you, the Prince of Peace, with you. When you pass through the waters, it says, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Then it says, when thou walkest through the fire, when you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. So you can experience that level of shalom, that level of peace, that level of rest, even in the midst of storms. This already is a message of hope for someone. Daniel chapter 3, let's examine from verse 16 to 18. Then we'll jump and look at 24 and 25. This is a very popular story for believers. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember King Nebuchadnezzar? He erected a 90-foot gold statue of himself, as advised by all of the people, and they said at the sound of worship, everyone would have to bow to that statue. And there were three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they refused to bow to the king. So the story starts here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Verse 17, he said, if it be so, we know that our God, the God that we serve, is able to deliver us. He's speaking about deliverance now. That means that trouble will not even start. He can deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. We will not serve you or worship the golden image you have set up. Powerful. It takes a man who has this covenant working in their lives to know that you are about to die. You see, kings those days were not people who, they were very messless. They were trained to be vicious. Are we together? Kings those days could kill their wives for entering the inner chamber without invitation. Can you imagine that? Just for entering, that was what made Esther afraid. Now the king has not invited me. If I go in, it may cost me my life. That's why she said, if I perish, I perish. So not even marrying the king made you safe. The guy could kill you one day just because you got into... Can you imagine kings? I don't know. Thank God we are not in that generation, honestly. I don't know how I would have coped personally. Are we together? So there is rest and peace in the midst of storms. Now look up please for a moment. Remember, the goal is to help you establish victory that you can rise above storms. But let me make an honest, pragmatic submission. It's easier said than done. There are many people, and I have a word for you before this discussion is ended. I have a word for people who are going through all kinds of things. You know, when I started ministry, our focus was on the spiritual impact of people. I really didn't see the emotional side of life when you are hurt, wounded emotionally. I didn't take it seriously. I just felt if people had emotional problems, it was because they were not serious with the Holy Ghost. If they really pay attention to the Holy Spirit, there shouldn't be any reason whatsoever. Oh dear. Forgive the former me. But now, as I've grown in life and leadership, I'm learning that with the Holy Ghost in you, the Bible says Jesus in Gethsemane. Is that in your Bible? The Bible says Jesus wept. John 11:35. He was still full of the Holy Ghost. But he wept many times. He wept over Jerusalem. The Bible shows us a plethora of emotional expressions from your Jesus. When he was in Gethsemane, he cried, he prayed. Tears were like drops of blood. Emotional wounds are real. Storms are real. And there are people in it right now. Are we together? There are people who are in their versions of the lion's den. There are people who are in their versions, all kinds of things. Do you know? There are people right now following from hospitals. Right now. And I'm not exaggerating. With loved ones who, based on the doctor's diagnosis, only have weeks and months to live. And they are listening to me right now, this moment. And they still believe that there is a way out. As a man of God, you know, ministry is like medicine. You have the honor of, you know, just having access to people's pain, the back end of their smiles, the back end of their laughter, while they laugh in church because they are standing in faith and believing what you've taught them. Sometimes when they come to you, they have the liberty to open up, and sometimes you see people who have been wounded and they dress that wound with an honorable apparel. I can tell you that storms are real. And if you have not experienced one, make sure that as you sojourn, you don't laugh at anybody in a storm, because you will need their lesson to go through yours. Who is learning? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. One time the disciples of Jesus saw a man who was, I think he was crippled or born blind. They said, who sinned that this man was born blind? Was it him or his father? You know what Jesus said? Neither. That means there are certain problems that have nothing to do with your personal contribution. It's just the fact that it happened around you. Are we together now? Who sinned? The Bible talks about the man at Gate Beautiful. I've taught you here. The Bible says he was lame from birth. What was his contribution to that situation? How about the Samaritan? He was on his way and he was waylaid by armed robbers. It was not his fault. I'm telling you, there are times that certain things happen to you and they are a direct consequence of your neglect, a direct consequence of ignorance. But this world we live in, when you grow old enough, you will see certain things that, except God shows you mercy, you can be a victim of tragedies and calamities you have no direct contribution from. Are we together? A child can steal and be jailed and leave the mother with depression and pain. What was her crime? That she gave birth to the child? Someone can decide to hate you because you come from a certain tribe or a certain region. Was it your fault? No. But let me tell you the truth. Even in the midst of storms, there is hope for the believer. You can have peace and rest in the midst of storms. The rent has not been paid, I understand. You are not sure. Let me speak to our family in diaspora. You are not sure where your papers will come from. You are not even sure if you are going to be left or deported. You are not sure where your rent, your mortgage is eating on you like a weight on your neck. Maybe there's some single mother or someone, it may not have been your fault. What do you have to tell a woman who was raped, for instance, and got pregnant and now has twins to take care of? It's true you sympathize with her situation, but there are realities right now that she must deal with. Can I tell you, let me suggest to you by the Spirit of God, minimize criticizing people's situation. Are we together now? Billy Graham said, leave judgment to God. Because you may not understand the full context that surrounds the pain of people. So that you do not make unrighteous judgment. When you find people cry, if you cannot comfort them, pray for them from a distance. Who is learning already? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you saw Jesus hanging on the cross, you would think that he was on the cross because he was a criminal. I told you the prison and the cross are two mysterious places. That is where both good and bad people meet. If you see anybody in the prison, don't be quick to judge, because Joseph is there too. If you see anyone on the cross, don't be quick to judge, because Jesus is somewhere among those criminals too. And in his case, he's not dying for his own personal sin. There are people hanging on many crosses, carrying the sin of their family members, carrying the sin of their loved ones. Are we together? They are paying that price once and for all, so that they can work in partnership with the Holy Spirit to sponsor the liberation of the generation after them. For those who are connected to me, related to me, or have access to my number, most times you find the people sending, trying to release their faith. And so, you know how we do it in Africa. They prohibit the doctors from burying the dead body. They say, look, let's give God a chance and see what happens. And your phone is bombarded with people who believe in you. They have such confidence and trust in you. And they say, Apostle, I just believe that if you can just say a word, this person who died can come back to life. And I can tell you, as a man of God, sometimes it puts you in a very uncomfortable position. Because the word of God makes provision for resurrection. And the people believe in you and believe in your anointing. Now, it's very difficult to begin to educate those people under that kind of intense pressure. How do you tell a woman is going to be all right when she's holding a cancer stage 4 diagnosis? How do you tell somebody is going to be all right as a pastor when he's watching empty pews and it looks like things are going haywire? How do you tell someone is going to be all right when they've been bullied, their properties have been collected? Sometimes life can look so harsh and life can look so unfair. But let me speak a word of hope to someone. You can find peace. You can find rest in the midst of the storm. The goal is to rise above it. The goal is to walk in victory. But let me start with those who are in the midst of the storm.
I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over. And I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you. I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you are God.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Life for you. So the first dimension of peace and rest, as defined by the word shalom, is peace, rest, in the midst of storms. Can I tell you this? It's important for you to realize, and I will repeat this later on, your convictions must be greater than the happenings around you. If not, you cannot have true peace. If the happenings around you become greater than your conviction, it will overwhelm you. Because there are times, I can tell you, it looks like the more you pray, it's as if God is sleeping over you. Are we together now? Remember, the Bible says Jesus was sleeping in the boat, and that boat was about to kill the people. Sometimes you can almost die in the presence of Jesus. Isn't that funny? For the centurion, it was because Jesus was far. And so he said, let me hurry up and reach Jesus. How do you explain the death of his disciples in a boat? Jesus is in their midst. The Bible says water was already entering the ship and Jesus was asleep. You know what they said? They didn't say, Savior, I love you, I worship you, you are the rose of Sharon. They said, care us not thou that we perish. We are about to die and you are acting like you are not seeing. I've been a faithful church member and I've done my best. I lost my job. Now I cannot pay my rent. The more I starve, the more the tragedies build. Carest thou not that we perish? Let me tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. I am a man of faith, but I'm telling you, listen to my message, the other side of faith. I teach that faith is not always about died according to Hebrews 11 without obtaining promises, but all the elders obtain a good report. That report is more noble than the promise. That you believe somebody who had cancer, trusting God to heal the person, and the person still died. You can be discouraged and feel God failed you. No, you are still a man of faith. You trusted God to the end. The Bible says there is a compensation system in heaven. That those who died, those who went through fire, believing that God will save them. Are we together? And those who gave up an opportunity for deliverance because they believed to a better resurrection, there will be a consolation. So let me tell you something. If you really believe God genuinely in this life and things still go bad, find rest in your lifetime. And even if it goes beyond your lifetime, the justice system of God will insist that you must receive a reward for trusting God in the midst of fire. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We will speak the language of victory, but this is another language of victory that is foreign to many believers. Because our orientation of victory is until you stand above the challenge. That is true. That is the ultimate. But the ability to be resilient in the midst of fire is victory indeed. Joseph did not become victorious when he became prime minister. He was victorious when for being blackmailed. But do you know what it means to go through the emotional, psychological pain of being betrayed by your brothers? Then he went to Potiphar's house. Just when he looked like his head was rising above the waters, then Potiphar's wife came with her trouble. Are we together? And she held his cloth. How do you deny that? And the guy went to prison. And then to make matters worse, he now interpreted the dream of someone and begged the person. He said, please, I'm sure they were discussing injustice in the prison with the man and discussing how people forget people. And he said, I hope you are not like that. I said, no, me. As soon as I'm going out, just know that by next week you are out of this place. Next week became 2 years. The heart of man for you. I've shared it with you here. If I'm Joseph and I come out, mention two people who you would deal with first. Potiphar's wife and who? You will ask the person and say, come. You still remember my face? Can I tell you the truth? There are certain tears that are not proof of defeat. It is only victorious people that cry that kind of cry. There are certain kinds of tears when they come out from your eyes. It is not a sign of faithlessness. It is bring my child back to life and the child died. Lord, I still count you faithful. I believe God for my business to turn around, that I will get the contract. I even had dreams and visions, and I saw that I got the contract. But now they said, the contract is gone. Let's sing our song. Lord, you seem so far away, a million miles on what it feels today. Allow me minister to you for 1 minute. And though I haven't lost my faith, I must confess right now that it's hard for me to pray. I'll sing that verse again. Listen.
And though I haven't lost my faith, I must confess right now that it's hard for me to pray.
They say she's dead. There were people who held hands and prayed before they started. Maybe, just maybe, there were people who shouted in that plane and said, God, do something. And they still died. Can I tell you the truth? If you've not gone through tragedy, you are too innocent to be blessed by this song. Allow me to sing this song to someone who needs it.
Lord, you seem so far away, a million miles, and what it feels today. And though I haven't lost my faith, I must confess right now that it's hard for me to pray.
I like this one.
But I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will sing, I will pray. Even in my darkest dark, through the sorrow and the pain, I will sing, and I will pray. I lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true. I will sing.
I don't know verse 2 so well, but let me try it.
Lord, it's hard for me to see all the thoughts and plans you have for me.
Very difficult to see that.
But I will put my trust in you, knowing that you died to set me free.
Koinonia Global.
I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will see. I will pray. Even in my darkest dark, through the sorrow and the pain, I will see. Because your word is true, I lift my hands to honor you. Because your word is true.
One more time. There are times that your bargain with life is not what eventually happens. There are times that there is no need explaining anything to anyone, because only you and God can understand what is happening to you. There are times that not your spouse, not your child, not relatives can understand. If you are Job, no one can understand, not even your wife. Lord placed it in my heart. So we start with this. We talk about victory above the storms. Then I will end by giving a prophetic word of comfort to those who have had reason to cry. Don't be ashamed of your tears, even if you are Jesus. So we have two dimensions of shalom. Rest and peace. I said number one is rest and peace in the midst of storms. Number two, the second dimension of peace is deliverance from calamity and rest round about. deliverance from calamity and rest round about. So while the first dimension of peace deals with the stamina, the staying power, the conviction, the ability to trust God and count and judge Him faithful in the midst of negative, unfavorable situations, the second dimension of peace talks about deliverance, a rescue from calamity, and then God giving you rest round about. Psalm 91, please, from verse 10 to 12. Now, you see the contrast. On one hand, it says, when you pass through the river, I will be with you. When you walk through fire, I will be with you. But here we see in Psalm 91, 10, same Bible, same God, same dealings with men. He says, there shall no evil befall you. It will not even come. Neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Let me tell you what it means to be a Christian. Say amen to everything God says. If God says, I will deliver you in the midst of fire, say amen. If He says, I will grant you stamina to go through it, say amen. What? If He says a doctor will empower, I will empower a doctor to be your friend. If it's God that said it, what's your response? Amen. If He says, I will keep you in health and wholeness, what's your response? Amen. Provided the mouth of God speaks, the response of the believer is amen. Are we together? So Psalm 91, let's look at 10 to 12. There shall no evil befall thee. I needed to comfort you so that you don't feel guilty saying amen to this. Because you said amen to stamina in the midst of fire. Now when it looks like you are saying amen to the fact that the fire should not even come, you are not contrasting yourself. You believe God that far. That whether in the midst of fire or above the fire, I say amen. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 11, it said, He shall give His angels charge over you. They shall keep thee in all thy ways. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up on their hands or wings, lest thou dash your foot against a stone. Praise the name of the Lord. So the honest truth is that there are times, and that's God's ideal, by the way, that you experience total victory. Daniel chapter 3, we looked at the earlier verses. Let's now go to 24 and 25. The three Hebrew boys, sadly, unfortunately, they believed God to not get into the fire, but they did get into the fire, but a miracle happened. Two of these dimensions of peace happened in the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Number one, they got into the fire. But number two, they came out of the fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Verse 26. And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these guys were not running around and wondering. They could hear him, they could answer. Ye servants of the Most High God, he says, come forth. And they came forth, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. Are you seeing that now? They came forth, and they now saw this man. The Bible says, men whose bodies the fire had no power. This man, nor the smell of fire was not even on them. Because there was a fourth man. We have a series on angels, and I'll be teaching you the classes of angels. And I'll explain to you from this verse. There is an angel called the angel of the Lord's presence. It's actually a name for the Holy Spirit. He's the angel of the Lord's presence. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's leave it for that series. But there are different classes of angels the Bible teaches. There are archangels, there are seraphs, there are cherubims, there are ministering spirits. The Bible talks about entertaining angels unawares. There are angels that are like men. You most likely have sat down close to one. You most likely have related to one. I can assure you. It's not whether you are born again or not. You have met one for sure. It's only that our idea from cartoons and films and people who don't know God is that they always create that thing, that bird, that whatever it is. No. Classically speaking, angels don't have wings. There are a class of angels that have those things. Are we together? Let's leave it until that time. We'll also discuss the four living creatures. And we'll find out why one had the face of a man. What was he doing there? Why the face of a man? There's a prophetic meaning, but why was he there? Because there are two questions to answer there. If that man had the face of a man, was he created before Adam or after Adam? I leave that to you. Go and do your Bible studies. Because the Bible says God created man in his image. It's good to know the Bible, isn't it? And it's good to wait until we start the series. So back to our discussion. We're discussing peace. Shalom. Are we together? Deliverance from calamities and rest. Because the Bible seems to challenge us about the subject of peace and rest. And it appears that although that is God's desire, the Bible attests to the fact that the saints have not yet walked in the experience of it. A few verses, Micah chapter 2 and verse 10. It challenges us as to the fact that we have not yet entered our rest. Micah 2 and verse 10. It says, arise and depart, for this is not your rest. Meaning there is still a rest for you. How about Hebrews chapter 4, popular scripture from verse 9 to 11. Hebrews chapter 4, 9 to 11. The Bible says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 10, it says, he that is entered into his rest has also ceased from his works as God did from his. Verse 11, it says, let us labor. It's an active word, that there is a participation on your own part. Labor therefore to enter into the experience of, context was about prayer, but the intent was to find rest round about. 18 verse 1, he spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The story begins now. There was a city, a judge. That judge did not fear God, neither regard men. I prayed for you before. Let me pray again. May you never meet this kind of man in your life. Amen. Shout amen. Amen. A man that does not fear God and a man that does not regard men is a dangerous man to come around. Are we together? Verse 3. The Bible says, and there was a widow in that city. The description widow already tells you that this woman seemed defenseless, lost her husband for whatever reason. She came to him saying, avenge me my adversary. And the Bible says, for a while he would not avenge. In other words, she wanted rest, she wanted justice, she wanted everything intact that would give her wholesome peace. And for a while the judge would not respond to her. And then one day he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, verse 5, he says, yet this woman troubleth me. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, is the word importunity, persistence, her consistency, that she will weary me. And Jesus now says, verse 6, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. 7, shall God not avenge his own elect that cry to him night and day, though he bear long with them? In other words, this is a statement that referred to God's desire to give his people rest round about, to give them wholesome peace. Are we learning now? So it's important for us to know that even though the covenant of peace is available for all believers, there is an experience of it. Most people know that there is such a provision, and I'm praying in the name of Jesus, as I begin to unveil the keys, I pray that someone will experientially enter into that covenant of peace. Enter into that covenant of rest. In the name of Jesus Christ. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. As I unveil for you by the mercies of God, the keys that we must engage if we desire to step into a life of rest, of wholesome rest roundabout, completeness. And if we want to give longevity to the manifestation of good things in our lives. Hallelujah. Are you ready now? I'm going to be giving you very quickly six keys. These six keys are the kingdom keys. Engage with these keys. The assignment of keys is to open doors so that it grants you access. Keys turn potential to experience. And in the name of Jesus, as you listen and write and learn and imprint this in your spirit, you will begin to walk in unusual dimensions of peace, of rest, and of wholeness. You believe that? Say amen. Key number one, that anyone who desires to step into the covenant of peace, the first biblical key is a life of total surrender to Jesus. Write that down, please. As simple as that sounds, allow me to explain it for you. A life of total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. A life of total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. Now, let me tell you what this means. That statement right there is beyond born again. Are we together now? When we talk about a life of total surrender, we are talking about a life of surrender, devotion, dependence, and trust. Not just an initial salvation experience. It is possible to receive the life of God and not be totally surrendered. Absolutely. In fact, the context of salvation is not even surrendering your life to Jesus. Really, it's receiving His life into your spirit. There is a conscious journey of surrender that happens to believers in Christ. There's a dimension of peace you will never have until your life is surrendered. Let me tell you what it means to live a surrendered life. You have learned to cast your cares before the Lord because He cares. You have gotten to a point where you are so conscious of His Lordship over your life. It's a life of surrender, dependence, devotion, and trust. I know my Redeemer lives. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. The first key to experiencing the covenant of peace, rest round about. It says, come unto me. Read with me the first three words, everybody. One, two, go. Jesus is speaking now. One more time. So He starts with a call. He's proposing to you, making a call. It says, once you discover that you labor and you are heavy laden, He says, come unto me. You may not know your way around life. You have been buffeted, have been perplexed on all sides. The Bible says, once you are conscious of the fact that you cannot help your life, it looks like things are going haywire. Business is going down, marriage is going down, your career is going down, your reputation is going down. He says the scriptural solution out of a life of tragedy and pain and regret. Come unto me is a demonstration of humility and dependence. Humility and dependence. Hallelujah. Lord, if you do not help me, there is no one who can help me. Vain is the help of a man. I'm owing debts to the billions, and if you don't show up for me, I know that things will not work out for me. If you don't show up for my children, if you don't show up over my health, I sense a lump, a breast lump, I sense some pain somewhere, and I went and they said they have to check it, hoping that it's not cancerous. And you know that you cannot help yourself. He says, come unto me. Someone, God is calling you. You have tried to fabricate all kinds of intelligent formula out of your trouble, but it is very clear that your brain cannot take you beyond this. Come unto me. Come unto me. To seek the Lord with all my heart and to not trust in my own strength. Proverbs 3 from verse 5 to 7. Popular scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. Verse 6 says, in all your ways, even your troubled ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. Verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. It says, fear the Lord and turn away or depart from evil. Is someone learning tonight? 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Let's read from verse 12 to 15. The first key that anyone must engage if you desire to see the covenant of peace, wholeness, rest round about. You want to enter a realm of rest in experience. Nothing missing, nothing broken. The Bible says, verse 13, that whosoever will not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether men or women. 15. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, with trumpets, with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath. They bound themselves with an oath. For they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. Read the remaining part with me. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them shalom. Rest round about. Rest round about. Rest round about. When you make Jesus your priority, when you come under the governing influence of his lordship, acknowledging the fact that you have no power to help yourself. Please hear me. We live in an arrogant world where we over depend on intellect. We over depend on political might. We over depend on connection. All of these together are factors that make a successful life. But like you've heard me say, there are times that you can have the right boat. There are times you can have the right net. There are times you can be a professional fisherman. There are times you can be at the right location. You will still not catch fish. It's not a proficiency problem. It's not a boat problem. It's not a fishing problem. It's not a river problem. That's life for you. Peter was a fisherman. He had the right net, the right boat, was in the right place at the right time, and he did not catch fish. The race is not to the swift, truly, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to them that are wise. I've seen two statements in the Bible that made me afraid. First statement, rich fool. Second statement, poor wise man. These statements are not supposed to. There was a city that had a poor wise man. The man operated his wisdom but remained in poverty. And the Bible gave us a very strong lesson, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. It says, truly, let's see the lesson, since you've tempted me to go there. Wisdom is better than strength. But he said, a poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. How do you, by wisdom, deliver a city and yet you are not rewarded? Mordecai said a king and later was rewarded. A man delivered a city and still remained poor. Life for you. Another man was foolish and stupid, yet he had money. Enough to build bands. Life for you. There are times you look at people and you are angry because you are wondering who manipulated this equation that this man is living this kind of life. How did this man become a senator? How did this man become a governor? And yet you see another wonderful inventor begging for rent. A demon can clean two and add zero. And unfortunately, life will still match you like that. And God too can clean it and put anything there. Any spirit can manipulate the outcome. Life is not mathematical. It should be. Unfortunately, it's not. Learn that so you don't take life too personal. You are not the only one angry at what is happening to you. How can I go to school and graduate a first class, no job? My brother, this is the reality of life. How does someone bully me? I bought my land. Here are my papers. They collected it in my presence. I told you a story many years ago. We had our ticket in a particular city in this country. Our flight ticket many, many years ago. In our presence, some politicians came and they carried the plane and left. Life for you. Are we together? I told you about the story of the late Emir Nzaria many years ago. It's a story that we heard that someone did not have the height requirements to go to NDA, and they dismissed the person, and in anger, someone who was related to the Emir went and met the person, and they said, can you imagine? They said the person was too short, and he said they should send a message back to the commandant that the Emir has added his height. If you are the commandant or whoever, you know what that message means. Let me tell you this. the earlier you surrender totally, the more you are scheduling a bailout system for yourself. Are we together now? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct your path. Seek Him and trust Him. Psalm 125. Quickly, let's look at verse 1. And then we'll read down. It's just 6 chapters. They that trust in the Lord, Koinonia, hear me, they shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. There is longevity to those who trust God. Verse 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about the people from henceforth, even forever and ever. 3. It says, for the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Let me pause here. Shout amen. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands in iniquity. Then verse 4, it says, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. Verse 5, shall be upon his Israel. Final verse, 6. Is it 6 or it ends at 5? When the Lord, verse 5, we'll stop there. That's where it ends, verse 5. Peace shall be to the Israel of God. Say, I receive peace. So the first key is a life of total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. If you are in this place and you've not given your life to Jesus Christ sincerely and truthfully, whether you are here, overflows down to the basement, outside, or following online, once I make the altar call, shortly after now, please don't be in a hurry to rush and just act as if you are saved. It matters that you make your ways right with Jesus. We are living in very turbulent times. Jesus is the only one who is called the Prince of Peace. Like you're going to be learning, He says, peace I give you. Only Jesus can give lasting peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Rest round about. Ready? Obedience. The second key is obedience. The covenant of peace is activated at the instance of obedience. Now, let me say a few things as a background. God's love, I have taught you here, is unconditional. But walking in the reality of His promises is highly conditional. You may want to write that down. That God's love is unconditional. Even people who are in hell, God loves them. He cannot hate. It's not part of His character. God is love. God's love is unconditional, but walking in the reality of His promises, including the covenant of peace, is highly conditional. You have that down? The next thing I want you to write under the point of obedience is this. No amount of prayers, I'll take that again. No amount of prayers, no amount of confession, no amount of spiritual activities, not even impartation, will substitute or replace the need for obedience. Now, I'm not saying these things I mentioned are not important, but no amount of prayers, no amount of confession, no amount of spiritual activities or even impartation will substitute or replace the need for obedience. Obedience occupies a unique position in God's dealings and in God's economy. It cannot be replaced by the practice of any other spiritual activity. Hallelujah. Many times in scripture we find the call to obedience scattered in many stories. For instance, in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 28, the story of Jesus walking on water and Peter joining him. Peter looks at him walking on water and he says, if it be thou, he says, bid me come. The next verse. And then he tells Peter, come. Notice, he really did not speak to Peter. He spoke to everyone who could hear him. You can extend this to be an evangelical message. He's still asking men to come today. He didn't say, Peter, come. He said, come, because he knew that there are other people in the future who will need his help. And Peter went out and began to walk. The person who took the step of obedience was the person who experienced the miracle. How about John chapter 2 and verse 5, popular scripture. The wedding in Cana of Galilee, wine had finished. Remember, in teaching you this scripture, I taught you that sometimes trouble comes because of increase, not because of losses. The problem in this wedding happened because to do. He said, do it. And because they did that, eventually a miracle happened in verse 8, 9, and 10. And then the Bible says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. And the Bible says he manifested forth his glory and the disciples believed in him. The Bible talks about Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 1 and 2. Still speaking about the obedience. It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached, the word declared, the word spoken, as potent, as powerful as it was, it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Obedience. Obedience means you have obeyed. Verbally responding to what God has said does not mean you have obeyed. It is doing what God has said. Whatsoever he says to do, do it. You want to walk in peace? You must learn to obey the word of God. And look up, please. You know immediately that obedience demands a thorough knowledge of God's word, because you cannot obey in ignorance. If I am not aware of your expectation about me, you can't say I'm disobeying you. Are we together? So the first challenge is to find out what the word of God has said that makes for your peace. He cried over Jerusalem. Two reasons why Jesus cried in the Bible as recorded. Number one was over Jerusalem, weeping for their ignorance. Second was at the tomb of Lazarus. And when he cried over Jerusalem, the Bible says he overlooked Jerusalem and he cried, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only you had known in this your time the thing. He says, but now they are hid from you. So it's an issue of blindness, ignorance, because they did not know the day of their visitation. Obedience. Hallelujah. For instance, the Bible says, give a portion to seven and ye to eight. Other newer versions will say, scatter your investments in seven places and eight, because you do not know the tragedy or the calamity that comes upon the earth. So an individual who is earning, for instance, and disobeys that principle, does not sow your seed, does not sow anything. I'm not talking of giving physically. I'm talking of organizing your financial life, for instance. That person may hardly have financial peace. Are we together now? Because that person has become a waster himself. How about disobeying God's principle on the law of honor? The Bible says to honor all men. It says to honor the king if you diss the name of the Lord. I was reading earlier on about a very interesting story between David and Saul. You know, Saul, David had an opportunity twice to kill Saul and finish him, but he would not. Even when Saul saw an overwhelming evidence, what was David's crime? Because his influence was growing. And the women began to sing, Saul killed 1,000, David killed 10,000. From Goliath to everything, a man that married his daughter, a man, you can imagine all the good things that happened, and yet the king, he escaped death narrowly when he threw a javelin to kill him. Men who can like you today can hate you tomorrow, but your immunity is in your love for God and his principles. He had the right to be angry and kill the man. But he said, I will not lay my hands against God's anointed. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? Disobedience is a recipe for trouble. Financial losses, losses of opportunities, closed doors. There are people you see, no matter how you pray for them, God just asks you to plead mercy on their case. You know why? Because they are perpetually in a position where they are participating with demons and spiritual laws to keep programming turbulence. Every time there is peace, their actions or inactions contribute to the making of turbulence in their lives. Hallelujah. For instance, The Bible says, even a fool, if he's silent, he's regarded wise. There are people today who are fighting needless battles. Their children have joined them simply because they did not know how to speak a word in season. They stood before kings. You know that the anger of a king is like the wrath of God. And there are people who stood before kings and said things they should not say. How about other aspects of obedience? Loving the Lord. No other gods before me. It's amazing how many people, you may not go to a shrine directly, but it's clear through your life you are bowing to something else other than God. Like your certificate, like your bank account, like your ATM, like your brain. All these things are God. They are deities in their own form that attempt to fight the place of God. He says, for I, the Lord your God, is a jealous God. Someone say obedience. Abraham did not become a father of many nations simply because God spoke to him. Abraham engaged meaningfully with God until he translated that prophetic speaking to a reality. In Genesis chapter 22, when you read, the Bible says, now the Lord came to Abraham, having spoken to him about the many great promises. He said, Abraham, take now thy only son whom thou lovest and take him to Mount Moriah and go and offer him for a burnt offering. The Bible says, Abraham arose early. He arose early. He saddled his donkey, arose early, and dragged Isaac, a child that delights some obedience. Let it be released upon you. In the name of Jesus. Very quickly, let's go to number three. What is the third key that activates upon the life of an individual, an organization, a business, a ministry, even a nation? The covenant of peace. Are you ready? Meditating on God's word. Now, please pay attention and let me explain this. Meditation on God's word. This right here is the antidote to psychological degeneration. Meditating on God's word. Because you see, peace, lack of peace, is a spiritual problem, a psychological problem, and a physical problem. You can deal with it spiritually by being born again, but if you do not know how to deal with the thoughts that eventually translate to a life of fear, of turbulence, translating into sickness and the rest, you will never truly be free. Promises of God. You deepen your understanding and you strengthen your convictions. Two things that are very important for you to have peace. You deepen your understanding and you strengthen your convictions as you meditate on God's promises for your life. The Bible talks about the weapons of our warfare not being carnal. It says, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It says, casting down every imagination and every high thing. It says, and bringing every thought, laying it captive and bringing it to the obedience of Christ. Listen. Now let me repeat a statement that I made earlier on. I said your convictions must become greater. Life can be unfair, life can be funny, life can be aggressive like storms, like turbulence at sea. Your convictions must be greater than the happenings around you. I know my Redeemer lives. It doesn't matter what I see. I know that which He's told me and I am persuaded. He said, but I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which is committed unto Him against that day. Praise the name of the Lord. Meditating on God's word. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Let me tell you how Jesus gives peace. He gives peace by giving you His word. He gives you peace by allowing His word to so infiltrate, dominate your thoughts until they become strongholds greater than any circumstance around you. For many, peace of God is largely transmuted to the believer through His words, His speakings. Contained within the word of God is His peace. Please keep that scripture there. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. The question is, how does the world give you peace? They give you peace by giving you things and telling you things. Giving you things and telling you things. Giving you things and telling you things. For instance, you will be promoted next week. And all of a sudden you are bubbling with joy. It doesn't matter whether it comes to pass. They told you something, and with it came peace, joy, a sense of fulfillment, progress and satisfaction. How does trouble come? By something you hear too, or something that is taken away from your life. How did Job become troubled and perplexed? Because something was told him and something was taken away from his life. You must meditate upon God's word such that nothing in 1 million is subtracted from your account, you frown. Without prophesying, I can know 1 million was missing by your faith. I can know 1 million just got added. You cannot live your life like that. Hallelujah. Meditating on the word of God. It doesn't matter what happens, you are victorious. Listen to my message, more than conquerors. Very powerful message. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Everyone read with me, please. Ready? One, two, read. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding. What should it do? Notice, what does peace protect? Your heart or your spirit and your... It comes through his word. You have to protect because of worry in the name of Jesus. If I stay awake, it's because I'm walking, but worry will not be the reason to keep me on my seat. And believe me, I can tell you, by the privilege of leading a ministry like this, it will be foolish for you to think that there's not been issues on my table that have called for concern. But because he gives his beloved sleep, you will never, in the name of Jesus, may it never happen, that you will see me like this. And you say, Apostle, what is wrong? Okay, life. Do you know why? Because I have found out through his word that I can look at the things that my light affliction, which is but for a moment. I have used that scripture. You know how you shall I be afraid of? Are we together now? Yes. My light affliction, which is but for a moment, it works in me a far more eternal and exceeding weight of glory. While I look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are temporal, the things that are unseen are eternal. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says, surely there is an end. So as a family, when you are going through all kinds of turbulence and you have no answer, you shout it to the devil's face. Surely there is an end. And I know that at the end of it, I will stand victorious. I may not see wind, I may not see rain, but one thing I know for sure is that my valley will be filled with water. There are many ways to have water. Rain can bring water, but the earth also has water. I will not only look up alone. The earth also has water. The heavens also have water. Ask Noah during the flood. Both the earth and the heaven brought water. And I hope you know that. And if the devil and demonic forces seem to block my heavens, even the earth talks of men. God, there are times manna can come from heaven. There are times it can come as a harvest. Anyway, let it come. Because when you are hungry, you need manna. Are we together now? Meditating on God's word. Can I tell you this, the truth? Obtain grace. I have taught you and I will continue to do this. Please obtain grace. Manage the kinds of news you give priority to. Now, you're a responsible citizen. You should know the things happening around you. Unfortunately, the news around our world are largely negative. I want you to be very careful. Create a spiritual immigration system in your mind, so that you sieve the news that enters your holy of holies. Are we together now? By the time you switch on your global television, they are going to downsize 5,000 people and they call the name of your parastatal. And they say they are starting with your department. And you look at 4 children and your wife is pregnant for the 5th. You are now sitting and say, my God, what am I going to do? And just when you are thinking Canada or US will come, you just receive an email that you did not get the visa. Meaning you are not going anywhere. Hmm.
Are we together?
And you see the world. Have you seen? You see what is happening in our world today? People drive and they talk to themselves. I'm not talking of old people. A young person calculating things until their car hits a tree or hits whatever. People are getting depressed. What does a young person have to do with high blood pressure under normal circumstances? Are we together? Even in church, I'm telling you, you check and you think the people are typing notes. You see, calculate. No, 5,000. Listen, you must learn to meditate upon God's word. Some of you, as soon as you get up in the morning, justifiably so, you may need to check your mails and all of that, but you dwell, you are look. One news leads you to another. One 5 minutes news connects to another 10 minutes news, connects to another statistical report and all of that, and then you just check something and it says, once you get up in the morning and you have pain here, it's cancer. And that's exactly the pain you had as you got up. You had no business thinking about cancer, but because you overexpose yourself to certain information. How about you trying the Bible? You get up and it says, wherever the soul of your feet steps upon, I have given you for an inheritance. How about re-engineering your mind with the things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just? Give it to us, please. Philippians chapter 4, I believe. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are... Think on these things. I will not act like I'm not living in a world with all kinds of problems, but I will not meditate on it. My meditation is my contribution to making that thing a reality in my life, and I reject it. In the name of Jesus. I sympathize with our world. I sympathize with our nation. Globally speaking, from an economic standpoint, things are shaking up and down, but I will cry like a responsible citizen. But from a personal standpoint, minus me. No, minus me. Minus me. In the name of Jesus. Are we together now? I believe it all. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. Your name is the highest. You are not singing it to me. Sing it to the thoughts in your mind. The rent issue. The issue of bills. Sing it that there is a name. Come on. Higher than any newspaper. Doesn't matter what I've read. I thank God for the statistics. I thank God for all the decimals. I thank God for the GDP information. I thank God for the financial information. I thank God for all of those depressing information. But there is a name. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Can we sing it one time?
Your name is the highest. Your name is the great. Your name stands above the world.
Your mind says, be real. Tell it, my reality is that I'm together with Christ. If be real means remove this Jesus thing and use your brain, you wasted your time. There is no separating me and him. Are we together now? Any thinking that demands me removing Jesus before I think it, I cast it out of my mind. If Jesus has to be out of that thinking, then I'm not interested. Whether it's a business thinking, whether it's an intellectual thinking, if it demands me disrespecting the word to believe it, I'm not interested. I'm not interested, sir. When I read the statistics that economically the nations are going down, I can't live in denial. It's a fact. But there is a reality that superimposes it. If I read that ministries don't last, after 10 years they go down. I don't know who created that graph. I respect the historians and the archaeologists and all of that. But I read in my Bible that everything the Lord does endures forever. And that the path of the just is as a shining light. I know there's the law of seasons, but I also know men can be carried on the wings of the Spirit. Whose report will you believe?
I ask you again, whose report will you believe? Over your job, over your children, over your family, Koinonia Global, young man without a job, young lady without marriage, whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? Can I tell you this? There is no physical Goshen anywhere. Goshen is a reality that is created by your mentality. East, the West, whatever it is. Above all thrones and dominions,
all power and position, your name stands above the Lord.
Your name.
The person just announced to you that he's not part of the equation of your life. Don't waste your time. I don't need your dead body. There is already another dead body that resurrected. What do I do with your dead body? No. I don't need two dead bodies in my life. One is enough. Jesus already died. Arrogant people, even in the midst of nothing, they will bully you into an inferiority mentality. Are we together? Let nobody respect people, but don't let nobody look down on you. Just because we are called to be kind and nice does not mean we are called to be stupid. Are we together? Yes. We respect authority, respect everybody, but not at the detriment of your convictions. No. If you are calling failures, don't mention my name. If you mention my name, you invited me into the issue. And don't you say it's not my business. Hallelujah. The Bible says in famine you will laugh. Do you believe that? It didn't say you will laugh if you have a job. It didn't say if you laugh if you have paid your rent. It said you will laugh. Listen, I have taught you, we don't endorse laziness, but don't ignore the spiritual advantage the believer. Are we together? Your mentality. I'm telling you with every sense of humility, there are things I cannot believe about myself. It's not that I'm trying to remove it. I can't believe it. For instance, I know that everybody cannot hate me. All I need is one person who likes me. And I know it's not unusual for anybody to hate me because they hate Jesus and they hate Satan. Anybody in between, at least one person, even Satan has people who love him. Terrorists have wives. They have people who decided to spend the rest of their life with a terrorist. You can't be hated by everybody. So when Satan says everybody hates you, say, hey, I've been taught well. There is a helper somewhere. Somebody somewhere loves me enough to invest their credibility. Listen, learn to shut the voice of the devil. Don't let him have the last say in your life. He tells you you'll be a failure. When Satan tells you, I know the way, ask him by what experience. Results you cannot produce in your own life. Are we together? There are things I believe. No man will take my life before my time. I believe this. It's not out of fear. It's a settled reality. You know how many charms and how many of these demonic things I've held in my life? If I were lying, by now you would have shown. Are we together now? Many years ago, people would bring all these charms and say, don't touch it. They say, if you touch it without it, after 24 hours. Me? Go and ask your herbalist. Military man, the price for peace is war. Write it down. No, but you don't get peace. The price for peace is war. In this case, is your mental that warfare. Satan brings thoughts. You see how your father died? You are approaching 50. Remember, he died. And you say, well, I respect the fact that he's gone, but he did not know what I know now.
I have a covenant of life. And it doesn't matter whether the spirit is coming from the east and then Satan manipulates you. You go to bed and see yourself inside a coffin. What do you do? When you come out, you close the coffin by faith. What am I doing inside a coffin? I have Sound of Revival, UK, US, Canada, coffin. You see, some of them say so. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken.
You wear the victor's crown. You are the crown. You are the crown. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You are the crown. You are the crown. Every high thing must come down.
If you're a man of God here, let me tell you the truth. Ministry will not work because you want it to work. You force it to work. You force it to work. You force it to work. Where are the people who will listen to you? Gideon blew a trumpet and 33,000 people showed up.
Where are those who are ordained to hear that sound? May they come out from the east and the west, from the north. You are a businessman. You can sound your trumpet too. Where are the people ordained to see that this business does not die? Spiritualize your mentality. Don't carry a victim mentality. No, sir. No, sir.
Listen. Listen. If you're in a board meeting and they're discussing something antichrist, I'm not saying you should confront them. That's not wisdom. You don't get up and say, are you? No. You respect everything. But by the time you go back, you say in the name of Jesus, on behalf of this company, Lord, I stand here as the ark of God in the house of Obed-Edom because of my presence. This statistic, I respect it, but it will not stand. I superimpose it by the wisdom and the favor of God. I have resources. I am not helpless. Proving this thing I'm saying, no. So I'm not just speaking empty noise. There is an energy that the strength of your conviction exudes. It attracts those ordained by God to support that conviction. If you do not have a winner's mentality, only losers and negative situations will come to you. In my world, there is only victory. It doesn't matter how the equation is. Introduce God. I can fail alone, but me and God cannot fail together. No, sir. Not in ministry, not in life. Say, I reject failure. Say, I'm a winner. Say, I'm victorious. Again, say, I reject failure. I'm not asking you if you have gotten a job. Say, I refuse to fail. Yes, sir. And let me tell you this. If anyone has prophesied failure to you, whether it's your father sincerely so, whether it's your mother, thank God today is Father's Day. I stand by the privilege of this. For you, there is a casting down. Hear it from me. There will be a lifting up in the name of Jesus. Please be seated. Number one, total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. Number two, obedience. We're teaching on the covenant of peace. Number three, meditation on God's word. Why? To build your conviction, to deepen your understanding, to structure your mentality until you have the mindset of a winner. Listen to messages. Sometimes you can plug it and just put it low and lie down and let it just saturate your atmosphere. Subliminally, you see, we teach in psychology that the purpose of assimilating information is not just for conscious awareness. It's also to transport that reality so that it becomes domiciled in your subconscious. Don't ask where the people will come from. Let them appear in your mind. Anything that is built in your mind cannot be undone again. It's like a cancer. It can't stop. Dream with God. Carry your Bible and create pictures out of it. Dream a life of honor and dignity, regardless what happened in your family. I have the covenant of peace. I may not have a job now. I may be an orphan. I may be a widow, but I'm not without help. Step by step, line upon line, I'm in partnership with the Spirit of God. His peace is coming through His word. It's built a garrison around my mind. I refuse to fear. Things will change. I know they will change. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Number 4. What is the fourth key? Very quickly. A life of prayer. The fourth key, a lifestyle. Your name is a light that the darkness can't deny. Your name, help me.
Cannot be overcome.
Your name.
Your name is a light. Forever lifted high, your name cannot be overcome.
Your name,
your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome.
Your name,
your name is a light forever lifted high. Your
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, a life of prayer is responsible for spiritual growth. And prayer does something only prayer can explain. Samanakata, day by day, week in, week out, you are making spiritual investments. A time will come you will not fear some fears again. And the reason why you cannot fear, you can't explain. Prayer has upgraded you. It's given you capacity some fears cannot hold you again. Most people who are very fearful are usually not prayerful. They're not prayerful. They're not prayerful. They're not prayerful. The fear of anything. Be anxious for nothing, the Bible says. But in everything, everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, it says, let your request be made known unto God. The Bible tells us in many, many instances in Scripture to pray. I've taught you the value of prayer and the four major assignments of prayer. The fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment became white and glistening. The primary assignment of prayer is not to receive things, is to change the person praying, to mold you like a reptile into a version that becomes dexterous and powerful. Don't say I'm not in the prayer department, I'm not in prayer band, I would not pray. No, sir. He spake a parable, Luke 18:1, to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray evermore, pray without ceasing. The fervent, effectual prayer, James 5 tells us, of the righteous, availeth much. Amplified says it produces tremendous power that is dynamic in its working. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, Mark 11:24. Your assignment of prayer is to build the individual to a realm where fear cannot hold you, to a realm where worries cannot hold you. There is a way you are full of his presence, courtesy your prayer life, and you find out that certain doubts and certain fears no longer have power. The thing that would have made you worry yesterday, although it has not yet been solved, you can look at it and laugh. Number 2, I taught you that prayer is a tool for obtaining requests. Philippians 4 and verse 6. To make your request known, the Bible demands. Make your request known. Numbers 14:28. As I have heard you speak in my ears, so will I do unto you. What is the third assignment of prayer? To make faith-filled decrees. Isaiah 43, thou mightest be justified. For by your words, it says, you are justified. By your words, you are condemned. The fourth and final assignment of prayer is for warfare and intercession. Warfare and intercession. The Bible in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41 tells us to watch and pray. To watch and pray.
to watch and pray that ye do not enter into temptation. There are certain temptations that will lead to loss and fear. They are remedied by prayer. The reason is because there is a weakness in the flesh of every man, even though the spirit is willing. And the way you deal with that weakness of the flesh that will push you and tilt you into a lot of troubles that takes away your peace is to pray. He knows that ordinarily you can easily be deceived by any business idea. Then he says, pray. Pray. Prayer is like it distills your life. It purifies your life into the covenant of peace. Shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Wholeness. Completeness. Rest round about. The fifth key. We practiced that last week. But here it comes again. Thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 6, 7. Thanksgiving. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught. It says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for your state of thanksgiving is the will of God in Christ concerning you. That in every matter, knowing that God has gone ahead of you, you give thanks. Colossians 4 and verse 2. That is the same zest and zeal you give thanksgiving. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you what you thank him for. You thank God for three things. One, the things he's done yesterday. You bring forth, you draw from your archives of his goodness of yesterday, yestermonths, yesteryears, and you lift up quality thanks. Number two, you thank him for what you believe he is doing now. Even if you've not seen the rain, for as long as you've seen the cloud, like the fist of a man's hand, is proof that rain will come. Don't wait till it manifests fully. Thank him. Are we together? You've not gotten the visa, but they sent you an email. Thank him. And then you thank God as an act of faith, knowing that you are thanking him for tomorrow. Live a life of thanksgiving all through this year. Live a life of thanksgiving. There are 1,001 reasons to be anxious. You said it last week, repeat it again this week. Say, thank you, Jesus. Now turn it into a prayer for 1 minute. Thank you. For yesterday, you kept me. Thank you. For your love, you kept me. Thank you. For giving me a great ministry. Thank you. Thank him for your wife. Thank him for your husband. Those outside, are you thanking him? Online, are you thanking him? You're declaring your gratitude to the King of Kings. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion, they fail not. Thank him for life. A dead man does not have worries in this life again. The reason why you are even hopeful is because you are alive. Take a minute to tell him thank you. Those online, we are a grateful family. Join us as we thank the King of Kings, the one who shows mercy to the sons of men, who will not allow the desire of your enemy to be executed upon your life. Thank him for your children. How about your job? How about your finances? You're not there, but you're not where you started. Acknowledge his mercy for 1 minute. In Jesus' name we pray. Every time you get up in the morning, among the many healthy rituals that I pray becomes a stronghold in your mind is the attitude of conscious gratitude. Conscious gratitude. You get up in the morning and you don't just say it in passing. You say, Father, thank you. Not just because of this day. Many slept like I did, but could not wake up. I want to say thank you. Thank you because I have a job. Now I will take my bath and rush for work. Thank you. Thank you that I have healthy children who can come and greet me. Thank you because I am Jesus. Thank you that I have a job, that someone can pay me a salary. Thank you for my business. Thank you for everything. Thank you for Koinonia. Thank him for your department. Thank him for Joshua Selman. Thank him for everything. You see, and you get up, Father, thank you, because I know that this day is blessed. Listen to my teaching, Effective Prayer Dynamics. I teach there on the various ways to pray. One of it is the prayer of thanksgiving. Effective prayer dynamics. Effective prayer dynamics. You may also want to add it with a teaching that I did here last week, I think, when men pray. When men pray. Add those two teachings and it will buttress on what I just told you. But the summary of this, ladies and gentlemen, the one who is prayerful is the one who is negotiating your path to peace and wholeness. Prayer solves a lot of spiritual problems. Prayer grants access to God. Part of prayer is very powerful. Let me show you something in Isaiah chapter 40, I believe, and verse 1. We'll still look at that again. Isaiah 40 and verse 1. We're still going to visit that, in fact. 40 and verse 1. It says, comfort you, my people, saith your God. Verse 2. It says, speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. There are battles that if you know how to thank God for, you are simply announcing. Because you see, thanksgiving is at the end of victory. Am I right? So when you begin to celebrate God, what you are saying is, that trouble, I have forced it to come to an end. Are we together now? Thanksgiving is you announcing that there's no more. I've come down from the ring. I'm not fighting anything again. The battle is over and I'm victorious. Number 6. Let me give you the 6th key. The covenant of peace. We're exploring that like rain tonight. By prophetic blessings. Numbers chapter 6. From verse 22 to 27. The prophetic can activate and can release into the life of a man rest round about. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise shall ye bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Final sentence, and give thee peace. How does it end? And give thee peace. To someone say, I'm blessed. I'm going to be speaking that blessing verbatim over your life before the service is ended. Psalms 85 and verse 8. 85 and verse 8. It says, I will hear what the Lord will speak. Ladies and gentlemen, for he will speak peace. Peace can be spoken into a person's life. Peace. You know what that means? Prosperity, health, greatness, glory. I'm not just talking of restfulness. That means the prophetic can come and say, hey, this trouble around your life, let it end now. Am I prophesying to someone already? That this mountain around your life, this is the prophetic. The power of prophetic blessings. It can end wars. Prophetic words can negotiate a stake for you in the realm of the peaceful. You can speak peace. Become energized by the Spirit and it can say, thus far have you come, no further shall you go. How about the spirit of poverty? Are we together? You've done the best you know. You are diligent. You are hardworking. But there are all kinds of spirits that the only way you will eat is by begging. In the name of Jesus, the prophetic can tell it to come to an end. And force your mind to be productive. And force your hand to be productive. And force your feet to find direction. Peace. Can I tell you this? This is the dimension I've seen in the life of our fathers of faith in this nation. They have shown us how to use the prophetic to program peace over the life of a man and to program rest round about. I don't want to remind you of stories I've shared with you before. How the prophetic landed at various quarters from various people in my life. And it's what can use men. Prophetic voices to speak peace. Now you know what I mean by peace. For some, peace means prosperity. For some, peace means the wholeness, your body. For some, peace means rest roundabout. For some, peace means you will never cry again. There's no reason for it. The prophetic can speak peace. in addition to your total surrender, in addition to your obedience, in addition to your meditating upon the word of God, in addition to your being prayerful, in addition to your being thankful, living a life of gratitude, you need a prophetic proclamation of peace. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. He blessed them by saying, he blessed them and said unto them, the way we bless is by saying. The way we bless is by proclaiming it. I have a teaching on that. I feel stirred in my spirit. Before I will speak over your life, perhaps I will just invite God's servant, Dr. Olumide Emmanuel. Just give him 1 minute to just speak a blessing from his heart. Just to proclaim a blessing over someone, and then we'll continue. Sir, let's rise and honor him as he comes. And speak a blessing as God has placed it in your heart, sir. Just to speak a blessing. Reverend Akila, please come. When he's done, we speak a blessing. And let's just maximize this anointing in this place tonight and speak a blessing. Tobakatige de Bosike Bele Kurianda Palatakedeha Raishko Poleke Zikalunde Kriado Sakahaya Aligre Tuzike Pelikatahaya Duze Alibrundu Shikebriadaha. Every problem has an expiry date. I declare and I decree today that problem expires. Every negative situation in your life came through the devil, but there was a God before there was a devil. So it means that your solution is senior to your problem. Therefore, in the name that is above every name, we declare every problem, every challenge swallowed up tonight. As you leave this place, you will sing a new song. The rest of this year will be the best of the year. You will never know a better yesterday. The rest of this year will be bigger, brighter, and better. You will finish well and you will finish strong. So shall it be in the name of Jesus.
Let's honor him. God bless you.
Just lift your hands wherever you are. And your mind still. We command today, peace be still. Over your family, peace be still. Over your business, peace be still. Over your assignment, peace be still.
Hallelujah. Let's honor them as they go. Now everyone, in 1 minute, I'd like you to begin to pray for the grace to practice these keys that have been given. Lift your voice and begin to pray, everybody. On the strength of the prophetic word that has come, go ahead and begin to pray. Father, grace to be totally surrendered. Someone who is still struggling with God. Someone who is still struggling with the ways of God. Someone who is still yet to take Jesus seriously. Here is your chance to pray. A life of total surrender. Fulfill your loss, but being ever surrendered. Devoted, trusting, loving, serving. Obtain grace for obedience. Go ahead. The grace to be obedient. In the name of Jesus. The grace to be obedient to the speakings of the word. Grace to be obedient. To walk in keeping with the promises that commit God's integrity to perform. Pray for grace to meditate upon the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Then shall you make your ways prosperous, and you shall have good success. Someone is praying. Grace to exalt the word of God more than any news, more than any report, more than any as a lifetime, not up today, down tomorrow, not on fire today and quenched tomorrow, not up today and going down tomorrow, ever fervent, ever on fire, that your candle burns with fire. Decree and declare.
the grace to remain grateful, to remain thankful, ever conscious of the goodness of God, regardless what happened or not happened, ever grateful, ever thankful. Now I'd like you to receive grace to receive the prophetic word, grace to receive prophetic blessings. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now keep standing. I told you I was going to wrap up with a special word. God placed this in the place of prayer. This is a special word for those recent sad air crash or any other tragic situation for that matter. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. It says we are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. In Habakkuk chapter 3, from verse 17 to 19, here's the word God gave me to give someone. I don't know who and for what reason, but the Lord instructed that I wrap up this discussion on peace by giving you this prophetic word. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd. God's response is, yet I will rejoice, not in the situation, in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. 19 says, the Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds feet, and he will make me to eventually, even if not immediately, to walk upon my high places. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. We're done. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. Here's a prophetic word for someone who is going through inexplainable seasons. Maybe your business, maybe your life, you are just in a situation where you need a word. The Lord gave me a word for you. It says, there hath no temptation taken of you, but such as is common to man. Can you give us NIV? I need the person who this word is for to really understand what this means. It says, no temptation has seized you. Tempted. Listen, it says he will provide a way of escape so that you can stand up under it. Are we together? Now please listen, everybody.
For there's a friend named Jesus who would wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands.
One of the most powerful, even after 38 years, my dear friend at Bethesda, it comes to pass. Even after 25 years, Abraham, it comes to pass. Job, for no matter how long you are in that situation, it still comes to pass. Joseph, I don't know how long you've been in the prison now, 2 years added to it, but I have good news. In the economy of the kingdom, it comes to pass. Mordecai, I don't know how long you've been at the gate, even though you rescued the king, saved him from dying. It was recorded, but you were not rewarded. If it's in the economy of the kingdom, it will come to pass. There's no challenge that says it will come to pass. Some will pass slower than others. That's why he calls some water and he calls some fire. The effect will not be the same. But one thing you can be sure of is that he's with you there. Can we intercede in 1 minute? Families that love their loved ones, and then particularly those God gave this word for. We're discussing the covenant of peace. Pray for someone you know in the hospital, battling cancer.
pray for some autistic child. Some parents, I watched a video of a parent trying to manage an autistic child in an aircraft. It was so heartbreaking. Go ahead and pray. 1 minute. We are believers. Please go ahead and pray. As a global family and as responsible believers, Lord, let the storms not swallow your people. For your name's sake, arise. Defend your name in the lives of homes, of families, of pastors. Maybe a pastor is about to give up in ministry right now. In the name of Jesus, we decree and declare, let strength surge back to you. Maybe a businessman is about to give up part or all.
Say to those that are fearful hearted,
pray,
do not be afraid. The Lord your God is strong, and with his mighty hands, when you call on his name,
are you interceding?
He will come and save you. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Say to the weary Lord, your God will surely come. He will come and save you. My God will come and save you. Lift up your eyes to me, you will arise again. He will come and save you. Lift up your eyes to me, you will arise again. He will come and save you.
Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and by every means. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and by every means. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare, whatever peace means for you in this season, if peace means health, receive it. If peace means finances, receive it. If peace means wisdom, receive it. If peace means strategic relationships, receive it. If peace means restoration, receive it. If peace means speed, receive it. If peace means mercy, receive it. If peace means growth, receive it. In the name of Jesus, I say to you again, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and by every means. Every businessman here, peace to your business. Every man of God, peace to your ministry. Every parent, peace to your home. Peace to your children. Peace to your God of Meshach, the God of Abednego. May he bring you speedily out of that fire. Bring you out of that fire. Bring you out of that storm. Bring you out of that embarrassment. For his name's sake, come out of shame and reproach. For his name's sake, come out of embarrassment. For his name's sake, come out of a life of delay. For his name's sake, come out of a life of worry. In the name of Jesus, hear me, the wisdom that will purchase peace for you in this season, the kind of wisdom that will gravitate peace to your life, receive it now. Receive it now. Whoever has been anointed by God to come to the rescue by reason of relationships, wherever they are, I prophesy upon you and upon them. May God create every spirit of fear. I decree and declare, it leaves your life now and forever. It leaves your life now and forever.
It lives your life now and forever. I declare the works of your hands blessed. I declare your mind blessed. I declare your prayer life blessed. Your word study life blessed. Your hunger for God blessed. In the name of Jesus. Now let me speak the blessing upon you. Verbatim, Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. I want to speak it like it's written. From verse 23. Speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you will bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Now Koinonia, receive this from your heart. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep you. May my God be gracious unto you, be merciful unto you, be kind unto you, be considerate unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And in the name of Jesus, beginning from June till December, may my God give you peace. May my God give you rest. May my God give you completion. May my God complete everything missing. Everything missing financially, maritally, spiritually, career-wise. Everything needed to complete your joy. Receive it by mercy. Receive it by mercy. Receive it by mercy. I speak to you, Shalom. Step into the covenant of peace. I activate it in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Prophetic sign is a wave offering. That from today, I enjoy the covenant of peace, wholeness, completion, prosperity, wisdom, rest roundabout. Shabalakata prantakaparata. Oh, it will be so for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Sing that song from May His Favor. Just that part, and then I make the altar call. The song, May His Favor.
May His Favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children.
Are you listening?
May His Favor be upon you and a thousand generations.
Said, come unto me, all ye that are weary, and those who are heavy laden, and he leaves you with an assurance that I will give you rest. There is only one person who is the custodian of this rest, peace. The only one who is able to give men, the originator of a movement called Christianity. Please lend me your attention for the next 1 minute. You are in this place, and from the start of this service, the Holy Spirit began to convict you. And all through the sessions of the teachings, the proclamations, and all that you've learned today, the Spirit of God began to convict you to not leave this place tonight without making this conscious decision to come to the Prince of Peace. You have invested your time and your heart to things of by far more inferior value. They have promised you rest. They did not deliver rest. I want to pray for someone wherever you are. I'm going to count 1 to 5, 2 calls in 1. That this is the first time you are making this conscious decision for Jesus. Do not be afraid. Do not be ashamed. Wherever you are, I request that you leave your seat and come stand before me. And for all the overflows, once the front is filled up, you stand at your LED screen. Number 2, don't be wherever you are. As I count 1 to 5, leave your seat and run. Come and stand right here. 1, God bless you.
koinonia, are you celebrating them too? Apostle, I want to come, but I'm still wondering, should I come? I seem ashamed, I seem afraid. Come to Jesus. It's like asking you to come and receive an award. It's just that this one is of eternal value. Three. For someone who is connected online, your home, your office, by television, you are following any of the viewing centers, any of the, you know, the platforms allowing for viewing, wherever you are across the globe, I want you to listen very carefully. It matters that you make Jesus Lord of your life. And tonight is your night. Now is your opportunity. Do not procrastinate. He's giving you an... For someone following online, you cannot see me, I cannot see you, but Jesus sees both of us and is ready to listen to you very carefully and to minister eternal life to your spirit. Final count, five. Thank you very much. Let's celebrate these ones. Celebrate these ones. The Bible declares, as many who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. Please look at me, my dear brothers and sisters. I appreciate you for the courage to have responded to this call. You came responding to this call. It was beyond the call of a man. It's because God called you here by himself. And I want to thank you for making this noble decision. Can I ask you to lift your right hand high above your head as a sign of surrender? Please repeat after me loud and clear, believing that Jesus is listening to you. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it again. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I have heard that you are the Prince of Peace. I need peace. I believe you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive your life into my spirit. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Let me pray for you, Father. I bless these ones with the blessings of heaven. They have come declaring your lordship over their lives. And by the authority of Scripture, I decree and declare that from this moment, they are bona fide recipients of the life of God. They only go forward and never backward, upwards and never downwards. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen and amen. Please look to my right. That will be your left from where you are standing. There are counselors who are available to have a word with you, to pray with you very quickly, and then you are back to your seat. Let's honor them as they... Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I decree and declare your week beginning is blessed. May the hand of God rest upon you. All through this week you enjoy peace. All through this month you enjoy peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You enjoy completeness. You enjoy freedom. You enjoy liberty. You enjoy rest roundabout. Come to you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, let it rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely God's goodness and mercies follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. Shalom. Peace unto you. See you on Sunday.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055 +233 26 767 6055 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com